for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. This is the 2016 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, December the 30th, 2016. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the evening, teaching on the Holy Spirit with us.
What a praise call. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God for the opportunity to be here, to minister here. And Lord, we just ask that you speak to our hearts. You know exactly what we need, Lord. And we ask that you'd speak that to us. Lord, do you have a word for us tonight, Lord? Do you have a word for us? Thank you, Lord, for your anointing upon this place, all of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was going to preach about the open heaven, Lord willing, maybe tomorrow. We'll see. But I want to speak to you this afternoon about the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. But if you title it, be the Holy Spirit with us. We were under the bridge several months ago, and I was preaching, and a pastor, Hispanic pastor named Raul, he preaches, he has me preach. He pastors a church in South Dallas. If you're familiar with South Dallas, you don't want to be there after dark. But anyway, he pastors a church there. And his church is an old service station, but it's condemned by the city, so they can only store things in there. But they have a metal frame, and they put the canvas on it for the service and then take it down afterwards, so it'll be there the next day. And feed people and preach to them. But we were under the bridge, and so I was preaching about the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And a young black man was on his bicycle there listening to me. And he's just sitting there listening, and I said, "Hey, you want the Holy Spirit? Come over here." I think he came over there, and I laid hands on Brother Raul, came over there and laid his hands in. I was praying, and God really came down. And when we got through, the man, he was silent, but I didn't hear him. But anyway, God blessed him. And he walked away, and Brother Raul said, "I felt fire go up my arm." it really got him, you know. He's like, "Wow!" And so praise God. The power of the Holy Spirit is a real thing. You know that? Amen. It's real. We're a fool to try to make it without the Holy Spirit. Amen. God has a plan. He has a plan. Praise God. Well, let's begin in Matthew chapter 3. In John the Baptist chapter 3, verse 11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Praise God. Introducing Jesus, of all the things that John the Baptist, the voice of one cried in the wilderness that God sent, of all the things he could have said, what did he say about Jesus? He said he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's what he had to say about him. Of all the things he could have said, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We know that Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. John came to baptize in water unto repentance. Jesus came to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Now, John is no longer baptizing in water. Ministers do. But Jesus is still baptizing with the Holy Ghost. He's still doing that. He's still the baptizer. No one else is. There was a very large church in our denomination, very large. And it's a very liberal church. And they were talking about how they had up to 100 filled with the Holy Spirit every Sunday night. I thought, well, that's interesting. That doesn't fit their, you know, what they do. But then I got to looking into it, and what they do is they say after the service, everyone that wants to receive the Holy Spirit go down to this room underneath and down somewhere, a very large place. And so they go down there and they teach them how to speak in tongues. Teach them how.
Oh.
They say, now, just clear your mind, and whatever comes in your mind, you say it. Just whatever it is. But you can't speak in English. I will count to three, and you say whatever comes in your mind. This is widespread. It's not just there. And so they say, well, that's the Holy Spirit, and He'll take it up and go with it. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's not the way He filled me with the Holy Spirit. And there's a young black man, was our assistant pastor, and he wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was praying for him one night, and he fell out on the floor, and I got down there and laid hands on him. I mean, the Holy Ghost came on him. I did not tell him to just clear his mind and say whatever came to his mind, but I mean, he took off in tongues. He had a struggle with it, though. It seemed like for him, the only way he could speak in tongues was if he got zapped, you know what I mean? Got under the spout where the glory comes out or something. And there used to be a song about that. Under the spout where the glory comes out, yeah. And it's good to get under there, you know. There's worse spouts you can get under. And he said, how do you do that? I told him, I said, well, you know, and this is going to be everywhere, whatever the Lord says. When you go under the bridge and preach, you don't take your notes and spread them out. The wind will blow them away, for one thing. You take your notes and they won't listen to you. They will not listen to you. You go in the jail and try to preach with notes, that's ridiculous. We go over to the Russians. There's a Russian rehab center about an hour from us, and you don't take notes. You don't do that. God gives you something to say or whatever. You know, but that's kind of how it is. Not that's okay. But in 1 Corinthians 14, which really goes into depth explaining primarily the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy, primarily. Chapter 12 names the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's not baking cakes, okay? And it's not parking lot attended at the church. That's, you know, gifts we're talking about. There are nine supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. That is, and we need them more than we ever needed them before. And it's absolutely stupid to say that God doesn't do that anymore. Has the devil gone on vacation? Has he dropped off the earth?
No.
You know, and so don't we need the gifts? These people say that, well, the gifts were just to establish the church. And once it's established and this book is finished, you know, of being printed, then we don't need it. No, we need it more than we ever did before. Mm-hmm. And or as much as this world's ever needed the Holy Spirit. Well, in those, we need those gifts. We need them to operate. In fact, in the last part of chapter 12, it says that God has set them in the church. Do you understand what it means to set something in? It means to make it permanent. It is to be there. That's what God's intentions are, is that the gifts be operating in the church.
Yeah.
I tell you, if the gifts were operating, we wouldn't have to see all this foolishness that's going on. I mean, the smoke machine, the colored lights, the strobe lights, and all this stuff going on, and clowns up there, and movie stars, and clips of movies, and all this kind of stuff that's going on. If we had the real thing. But you know, when the shields, the golden shields were taken away, then he came up with some brass shields and put them out there, and then took them in right afterwards and tried to simulate. I went to Mexico 25 years, and a certain place I went there in Nuevo Laredo and preached many, many, many times. But they began to get large, and they wanted to get larger. And so they moved into a new building, had a big crowd, and they were there, and they turned the lights off and had the colored lights and that light with the mirrors on it, whatever you call that thing up there, party lights, what I call it. I mean, you know, reflects. And so they moved the chairs back, and I call it the choo-choo train. They put their hands on the person in front of them, and they went around like this, you know, just like a snake, I thought. And the music's so loud it shook the building, and it's on the second floor. And I said, God, I hope this thing has some good walls under it. But and then the big surprise is this smoke start coming out from somewhere. But they overdid it. They just got it, and it was so hard you couldn't hardly breathe. I had to go outside and breathe. Well, you know, that's what you do when you don't have the gifts anymore. That's what you do. You look at Jesus. the woman at the well. Jesus operated in the gifts. The Old Testament, the men of God and women of God of the Old Testament operated in the gifts. And it made all the difference in the world. And it makes all the difference in the world. Well, Jesus came across this woman at the well, and so he said, "Go get your husband." She said, "I'm not married." He said, "Well, you're speaking truthfully. You've been married 5 times, and you, the one you're living with, you're not married to." And she said, "I perceive you're a prophet." You know, I mean, well, where's that at, you know? That isn't that better than "I perceive you really got some cool lights in here and an awesome smoke machine." But "I perceive you're a prophet." So she goes into town. Now, the disciples have been in town to McDonald's and come back, and they don't bring one person with them. Not one. She goes and leaves her water pot, goes in town, says, "Come see a man that told me all that I ever did," and brings the whole town out. This one woman, this one bad woman, I mean bad reputation, you know, "Come see a man that told me all I ever did." Then you look in 1 Corinthians 14, as I said, it's primarily about the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy. And so you look in there, and he says that if one comes in as unlearned or unbeliever, and you all speak in tongues, they'll think you're mad. Now, that some people take that and think, well, we can't all speak in tongues at the same time. That's not what it's saying. On the day of Pentecost, they all spoke in tongues at one time, and what they say? They are drunk, are mad, are crazy. So that's not a problem. Let them think whatever they want to think. You know, I remember growing up that they'd bring their friends to visit the church and hope Sister So-and-so didn't do her thing, you know. And I remember them women getting out of the aisle with that hanky, you know, and going after it. Praise God. And it was good. You know, it was good. Well, so he said they come in. He said it'd be better, though. It'd be better, so they don't run for the doors. It'd be better that you all prophesy. And the secrets of their hearts would be revealed. And they would fall on their face before God and say, "Of a surety, God's among you. Of a surety, God's among you." Now, you know all this junk that's going on in churches now, and the big bucks are paying for it, and the performances can't hold a light to that. I mean, there's no comparison to that. And I'll tell you something else. The devil won't, he's not messing with those people that have all this stuff going on. All this entertainment, you know, and promotion and marketing the church and all the things they do. The devil isn't worried, but you let the Holy Ghost get to moving somewhere, and the devil will show up too. Have you found that out? He'll show up too.
That's right.
We had a camp for about 13 years, and I began to learn, because I didn't know, you know, you're learning, it's a learning process. I didn't know, but the more the Holy Ghost moved, one night there's 26 of those kids filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, you think the devil's going to go off and hide? Oh, mom, defeated. No, he got his little act together, and one of the young ladies that laid out there out from underneath the in the dirt, out under the stars, and she was having it was quite a show. And she's all like this and couldn't talk, you know, and they said, "Brother Pinson, you gotta come out here and help us with her." I went out there and I said, "We're gonna have to find somebody to help with this," you know. And so the leader of I say I gotta be careful with naming things, but this leader of a large organization, you know, that's rehab, I thought, well, he'll know what to do. Praise God, he's gotta see this all the time. So we went and got him, he come over there and looked at her and left. And God did set her free. I mean, really. So I had to, and I was praying for her and telling that devil to come out of her. And the Lord put it in my, and I told her, tell it to leave. You've got to tell it to leave. You know, you've got to cooperate with this. And I know that's not always the case. The man in the tombs, most of the time Jesus never asked them to cooperate with him. He spoke the word and out they came. All right. Didn't even ask where they could go. You know, where can we go? And can we please go on these 2,000 pigs over here? But that's what the Lord showed me to do. And so she couldn't talk. And I said, but just do it in your heart. And after a while, she's normal again. And so we had a midnight hike. It wasn't midnight, but we called it that, down this dark country road, you know. And they love that. And so she wanted to, they said, well, can she go? I said, well, it looks okay to me, let her go. And they got up on the road, and here they come. Brother Penn said, you got to come. She's doing it again. In the middle of the road, you know. And I went up there, and so I've learned a little something, you know. Yeah. So I tell her, do it, you know, tell it to go. And she got okay. Well, the next morning in the chapel under that tabernacle, I'm speaking. I look back there, and you know what's going on back there. And she's doing it again. And I just told everybody, bow your heads. And I spoke directly to her, and I said, tell it to go. And so she did, and it went. But when they came to pick her up, I told the pastor, I said, she needs help. He acted like he didn't want to know who I was or what I was talking about. You know, just get them and go. And so I don't ever know what happened to her. But our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to pull down strongholds. Mm-hmm. If we try to get carnal and try to be like the world, we're not going to win that thing. I'm going to tell you, they got more money than we have. They've got it all as far as the carnal things go. And when we try to keep up with them, we look silly. We do. We really look silly. And besides, unless you're a big mega church, you can't even come close to keeping up with them. Now, I was telling you about this young man, and he was having a problem being able to speak in tongues except when the Holy Ghost like came upon him and moved on him. But you read in 1 Corinthians 14 that the Apostle Paul says, I will pray in the understanding, and I will pray in the Spirit. Spirit means in tongues. I mean, it's obvious that's what he's saying. He said, I will sing in the understanding, and I will sing in the Spirit. He's talking about these two things. All right. Now, notice he says, I will. You will do it. And so he said, I will. And I kept telling the brother, you will to do it. And he said, well, I don't know how to do it. It's not working for me. But I can report to you now, for quite a while, it's happening with him. And he's able to speak in tongues at will. Now, I didn't know you could do this. But I was going to a little church in a small town, and a saved, reformed, whatever you call it, spirit-filled Jew came through preaching. And he told us in that church, see, I grew up in this all my life. I didn't know this. I thought you had to get zapped too, you know. And so I don't know how else to say it. I'm not being disrespectful, but you know what I'm talking about, I believe. So I thought that's what you had to do. And he said, You should speak in tongues all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he said, pray without ceasing. How else can you do that? I mean, I worked in a grocery store for years, and I could check people out praying in tongues while I'm doing it. I worked in the dairy, and they had this very complicated formula for ordering milk and eggs. I mean, it's big numbers. And I found that I could do that, all that math, and pray in tongues at the same time. Because it wasn't my mind praying in tongues, it's my spirit praying in tongues.
Yeah.
And I could actually do it better, you see. So I could speak in tongues and check those people out. Well, anyway, back to this. I was working a little Piggly Wiggly then, if you've ever heard of a Piggly Wiggly. And on Thursdays, I was the only one awake. The only one. An old bachelor owned the thing. He's up there in his little cubby hole sleeping. His old bachelor brother was a meat cutter. He was sitting on the meat chopping block asleep. And the old maid sister, she was asleep. And the divorced sister was asleep. And there's only two of us that weren't part of the family. And the other lady, the checker, she was asleep. I'm the only one awake in this place. I just want you to see how boring it was. I mean, this is bad, you know. And I like to wore the clock off the wall watching it. And just get me out of here, you know. It's awful. I just cannot express how bad it was. It's like you were in jail and crossing off on the calendar, you know, till you got out. And this man tells us, this converted Jew, spirit-filled Jew, that you can speak in tongues all the time. Just do it. If you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the gift of tongues, then do it. And I know what I'm saying here, the devil's against all of this, okay? He's against this. He's going to tell you it's you. He's going to tell you it's gibberish. He's going to, what do you think he's going to tell you? But the scripture says that Jesus said in the scriptures that if you ask for bread, he won't give you a stone. If you ask for an egg, he won't give you a scorpion. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? That's a promise from God. And I believe God's promises trump anything the devil's doing.
Amen.
Amen. And so I have to go in faith. If you read in Romans 12, it said, when it's talking about one of the gifts prophesying, he said you have to prophesy according to the faith, before the proportion of faith you have. This whole thing operates by faith. Any gift, any of those nine gifts, operate by faith. If someone gives a message in tongues, and me being the pastor, usually I'm the one that interprets. I try to get other people to do it, but they're thinking, the pastor's supposed to. Now, how'd that come about? Well, when I was young and knew I was going to be a pastor, my pastor, you know, interprets those messages. It's not a translation. You understand that. It's an interpretation. Right. It's not word for word, just like a prophecy is not. God gives you the thought. He lets you express it in your own language. Some of them say, "But Lord and God," and, you know, try to sound like God, and that's ridiculous. Thus saith the Lord. And just be who you are, you know. So, well, it really happens. You know that. And so, I said, "Lord, I need to be able to interpret these messages in tongues if I'm going to be a pastor. I don't want to get up there and be embarrassed." I've been in places where the pastor couldn't, and I remember one time we were in a big meeting, and this lady gave a message in tongues, and he immediately said, "Now you have to pray for the interpretation." I thought, what a cop out. You're trying to hide something. You can't, and you're putting it on her. Now, I know he prayed, if you speak in tongues, pray that you may interpret. But I don't believe that's the normal. I believe that would really apply to your personal prayer language. If you're speaking in tongues and you feel like you want to know what this is, pray that you may interpret. To interpret speaking in tongues is actually, see, the tongues is prophetic word. It's prophecy. So you prophesying what you're doing. And you don't know what they said, because you don't know that language. But the Holy Spirit, He just gives you the words as you go. I find that, I know, if I go back, get back to where I was, don't worry about it if I do or don't. But when I was pastoring, and I still am, but when there's going to be a message in tongues, I knew there's going to be a message in tongues. Rarely ever was I caught off guard. There would be a burning in here. That's all I know to express it. I said, "Whoo," you know, and I knew it. And I would stop and pause and give the Holy Spirit a place. How many times have you been in service where the Holy Spirit, if he wanted to get in, he couldn't get in? I mean, they don't let him. They're afraid of him. Whatever it is, or they're so busy with their... One time I was a youth representative, or what, over the youth of our section, and the big man came down, and he's going to be there, and he gave me a schedule. 3 minutes for this, 5 minutes for that, you know, and everything. Well, that's fine, but the Holy Spirit thought differently. And so the Spirit of God starts moving, and I'm going to honor the Holy Spirit over this man. I don't care who he is. He got so angry because I didn't stay with his little schedule. That's just, you know, he died I think it was last week he died. I'm not saying he died because of that. It's been a long time. But, I'm sorry he died. I think he got everything straightened out, but anyway, so when it comes time to interpret, you don't know. You may have a thought.
You may have an idea of what the Lord's wanting to say, but you usually only have the very beginning. Maybe the first two or three words. Y'all know what I'm saying? That's all you got. Because he that prophesies, you have to do it to the proportion of faith you have. It's all a faith thing. If you think this is something else, you're going to write you out an interpretation of tongues or prophecy before you go to church. That doesn't work that way. It's spontaneous. And it has to be that way. That's why I have a problem. We had a denomination sprang up there in the Dallas area called Church on the Rock. It's all blowed up now, but anyway, before you could give a prophecy or interpret the message in tongues, you had to go talk to one of the elders or the pastor and give it to them. If they approved of it, then you could at the proper time. That's not how it works. But they take in 1 Corinthians 14, let one prophesy and the others judge the prophecy. But that's supposed to be spontaneous. You give it at the time the Holy Spirit says give it, right then, and then they judge. And if they know you're going to judge, it'll cut out a lot of foolishness, you know. If they know you're going to, what they're saying is going to be judged by those other prophets, then that right there, see, they're trying to, you go here, they want a safeguard. I'll try to explain. They want a safeguard. Well, no, don't want any stuff going on that's not supposed to, so we're going to go here and let them approve of it. No, you do what the Word says and let the prophets judge when it comes forth, and that will take care of anything that's not right in there. People quit doing it when they're going to be judged. Most of the time we won't, though. One time I was here, this is a year and a half ago, and there's some prophecies going on. And I never told Merrill this or anybody, but I walk back there to go to the bathroom, and I come back, and this is a prophesying going on, supposed to be whatever. And there's a man back there, and he said, "You just going to let this go on?" Well, I knew this, some things wasn't right. I knew there wasn't. But first thing, I'm not in charge here. And I believe the person in charge has to make that call. Right. You say, "Well, are you saying they failed?" No, I'm not saying that. There's another thing I learned. Lay hands on no man suddenly. There's sometimes I have got up and corrected things, and that's one of the biggest mistakes I made, at least that day, maybe in a month or two. Laying hands on some man suddenly. Because what that can be, is you're pulling tares out. You understand? You're pulling some tares out. And the Lord said, you let them alone and grow, or you going to pull up some wheat with them. I lost half the church one night for correcting something. I was right, but you can be dead right. You know, it's my turn to pull this intersection. You might be dead too. You know, you just learn things as you go along. Praise God, called the school of hard knocks. But praise God. Now, so the gift of you only know what to start with, and you just start, and God will give you the rest as you go along. Well, you're going to sit there all and pray. What if he doesn't give you the rest? What if it's just the two or three words? I'd say this to you. If that's all you get, that's all you better say. And let it go. Praise God. Well, somebody's going to think something. Let them think it. If they're right with God, they won't. You know that? Praise God. It seems like the real judges won't judge and the false judges will. That's right. Praise God. That just came down. That's just... I remember that. Write that down. Praise God. Well, what a difference every meeting would be if the gifts were operating in that meeting. But here's something. It's going to be very difficult for the gifts to be operating if everybody's been barely turning the TV off as you walked out the door. Argued with your wife or husband on the way to church. Blew your horn at somebody that cut you off. You know, or you did something last night you shouldn't have done. I want to talk about that. Condemnation. The devil's not dumb. If he can get you under condemnation, you're never going to do anything. We got to get over this condemnation thing. Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. And if you're feeling condemnation, I'm going to tell you something. When you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins right there at that very minute. He doesn't put you on probation. People do, but God does not put you on probation. And this is something I felt when people that are backslid come back to God. And if I know they used to speak in tongues, I'll tell them, you go ahead and speak in tongues. But they don't feel like they can because they feel like, well, I got to prove myself, or, you know, I've got to sit in detention for a little while, or sit in the corner with my nose in the corner, or something. But that's not true. And I'll tell them, let the Holy Spirit speak through you. You know, if they ever needed anything, that's what they need right then. Right then, they need to speak in tongues and get connected back to the Holy Spirit. Or how are they going to make it? Are you going to sin? No, you can't speak in tongues for 5 weeks. And when you 5 weeks, you can speak in tongues. By 5 weeks, they're going to lose everything because you've got to have the Holy Spirit. You can't make it without Him. And so it will be renewed. Another thing is, the fact that, okay, you failed God, whatever, however many times, however bad it was, whoever, whatever, whoever saw it, one of the best restoring things that can happen is for God to use you in the gifts.
That's right.
After you failed God. That really confirms you. And your confidence grows. Because I'm just telling you, that's the kind of God we serve. I know Sister So-and-so over there and Brother So-and-so. Well, I know what they did. They don't have a right. There was a lady in our church, and she'd been a widow for 7 years and got tired of being a widow. So she started dating again. That's all right. I understand that. I understand that. I mean, he's gone. He's as gone as he's going to be gone. And so she started dating, but she didn't like what she's finding out there. She told me one of the guys asked her how much money she had in the bank. You know, and it wasn't good. And other man trying to crawl all over, you know, this. So she said, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to set this house and I'm going to pray that God will send me a man. I want him to be tall and handsome. Well, one day a man showed up at her door. Tall and handsome. Only thing is, he is drunk. The reason she didn't tell me. The reason I know is because some people in our church, this man happened to stop by their house and ask where she lived. And they noticed he was drunk. They could smell him. So I hear her sister went to our church and said, Brother Pence, you got to do something. You got to talk to her. She's going to marry him and she's going to mess up. You got to talk to her. Well, she's avoiding me. But first I thought, I'm her pastor and she's getting married and I don't know it. That's strange, you know, red flag. So finally, and then she called me again, but she's avoiding me. She called me again and said, she's going to get married tomorrow. You got to go see her tonight. Well, I went over and she wasn't there. I don't know where she was, but she wasn't there. And so I finally got a hold of her at work. And I said, I think I can say her name, Billy. I said, you shouldn't marry this man. The Bible says be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Well, she said, well, Brother Pinson, they've given me a wedding shower here at work, and I'd be embarrassed to give the gifts back, those gifts. And the Spirit of God came on me, and I started prophesying to her, and I said, you're going to be a lot more embarrassed if you don't. And I said, another thing, you go with him, you come back to fearless, a broken woman. Well, she got mad at me then. Well, she married him. I don't know who married him. It wasn't me. And she kept coming to church. He never would come. And she'd sit back there and give messages in tongues. Oh, this ain't right. That ain't right. She can't give messages in tongues. She didn't do what I told her. She didn't obey me. That's the second time she didn't obey me. And then when I say obey, it's what God gave me. A word God gave me. And she just went on and did what she was hard-headed, rebellious. Well, but she gave a message in tongues, but I knew it was God. I mean, I knew it was God. There's no question about it, so I give an interpretation. And, well, God can talk to a donkey, you know. So, and maybe he was trying to, look, it's that's between God and them, okay? Now, Brother Clinton says, don't lay out a revival and lay out a church and a revival and come in here on Sunday morning and want to prophesy to us. You didn't want to come. You don't come prophesy. We don't need to hear what you got to say. We were here. You weren't here. I understand that. But I also understand that woman someday was going to get come back to God. And God is, He's our Savior, and He's the one that's going to work with us. And I've found in my life so many times that when I feel God the biggest, He blessed me the greatest. Well, you're not supposed to do that, God. I know some of you heard some of these things, but again. Okay, so I'll tell you, one time I failed God. None of your business what I did. But I failed God. And I was so down. We were in the old church before we built the new church. And the Spirit of God moved in there that night. And I was walking back and forth between the platform and the first row of pews. And I saw myself in a white robe walking in the clear crystal river. And it was glorious. And you know, I said, God, you can't do that. You know what I did. You can't do that. But God is in the restoring business.
Yes, He is.
And I'd asked God to forgive me. I'd confess that. Another time I'd done something I shouldn't do. And a young man in the church met me back in the back. This was in our new church. And he met me back there at the back. And he came and prophesied to me. And told me God was pleased with me and all this good stuff. And I said, well, you must not be hearing from God, brother. But that's what God does. I want you to know He's that kind of God. I'm talking about the condemnation thing as one of His most effective tools. I'm not condoning you going out and getting drunk on Saturday night, come to church on Sunday morning prophesying. You know I'm not doing that. But we are human and we do mess up. And we do make mistakes. But we ask God to forgive us. Praise God. And He forgives us. You can look in the Word. You know who Solomon's mother was?
Bathsheba.
Do you know what happened there? And she's in the lineage of the Lord. That's interesting. You know, that's very interesting. Peter. If anybody need be on probation, it's Peter. But if Peter gets discouraged, he goes back fishing, and the Lord goes after him. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord goes after that man. And not only does he go, he takes six other disciples with him. Now, if it had been me, I'd have went down there and chewed him out. What are you doing? You want to go to hell? You go, but you leave these alone or something like that, you know. That'd be what we'd call him on the carpet. We'd have a members meeting to deal with him or something, you know, like that. When I was pastoring, the first church I pastored, my wife and I used to go down to the Black Church of God in Christ so we could get something. You know, it's so bad when I was pastoring. And we'd go down there, they had a Sunday afternoon service. And I was having trouble with this woman in the church mother. She's the one I was sitting in her living room, and I had a vision of her as an evil queen on her throne. She's sitting in a recliner. And I rebuked the devil, but it wasn't the devil. God was warning me. Well, anyway, I went and I said, brother, I'm a young pastor. Brother, what do you do with people in your church when you're rebelling and doing wrong? He said, I write them a letter. Can I say it like it? I just write them a letter. And he said, and they get right. Well, I should have thought this through. When you go to their church and they can't go to the bathroom unless they raise their hand and one of those big women have to come and ask what do you need and give them permission or not, we didn't do that. That ought to tell you something, you know. It's different there. And when they stand up and they'd start off their testimony and give an honor to God and honor and all down the line, the pastor and any other minister and everybody, all the saints, you know, you realize that it's a different level of respect in that place. So he writes them a letter, they get in line. I write a letter and all hell breaks loose. Lay heads of no man suddenly. Praise God. Well, so I don't know where I was at, but anyway, so the gift of prophecy is so important. The Lord has been using me a long time in that, and I'm amazed. I really am amazed. And I can stand here and tell you that I've never had somebody come back and say I lied to them. Never. I've had some argue with me. I was praying for a lady over here, a man one time, praying for me. He started arguing with me. He said, that's not what you said yesterday. But, you know, and it, well, I'm not saying myself in the first place, but then it kind of threw me off. But then in thinking about yesterday, because usually when you give, this is for me anyway, people come and ask me, what did the Lord say to me? I don't know what he said.
Yeah.
I don't know. And there's a few times it was so whatever, I did pay attention. But you're trying to hear what he's saying and say it, you know. It's just right through you, you know. You're not there. Now, if I'd have practiced it before I come to church, I might could have remembered it, but I don't know what it was. And so I don't know what I said to him yesterday. He threw me off. But I realized in the course of that meeting right here that the man was a very disgruntled man, very angry man. And I don't know. God spoke a good word to him the day before, but maybe he didn't receive it. God had something, you know, correct him, yes, in that time. But being used in the gifts of the Spirit, you know, he said, seek earnestly the best gifts. That's the first thing. I can stand here and say we're failing in that. Okay, am I right? We're failing in that. We're more concerned with the music, with the temperature, and right now it's pretty hot in here, but we're more it's the lights or something, I don't know. It's pretty warm up here. Our platform's quite a bit higher than the floor, and people don't out there don't understand. I have to have a box fan. It's a lot in the first church we had, it's about this high platform. You wouldn't believe how much difference that made when you're standing up. Anyway, so if we can get back to the gifts, if we can get there in the first place, if we seek them earnestly, like, how many of you think that's a suggestion? God knows how this thing has to work. It's His church. And we're worried about all this. There's a man in our church for quite a while, and he wanted to be everything. You know, when Uriah went into the house of God, Uzziah went to the house of God, and he was going to offer up a sacrifice, and the priest came in and confronted him and said, that appertaineth not to you. And so you have people in pastoring or any ministry, you always have these people trying to be something, do something that appertains not to them. That's very serious. You don't do that. You might do it at work and try to get somebody else's job or get them fired or whatever, get them in trouble or claim that you did the good thing they did. But it doesn't work in the house of God. You're in a different place. And you might lie to your boss, but you lie to the Holy Ghost, you can drop dead. This is different. Y'all understand that is different.
Yeah.
And you can go to some of these churches that don't, I mean, they're playing games and nothing's going to happen. You lie to the preacher, lie to everybody, do whatever you want to, nothing's going to happen. But you go somewhere where the Holy Ghost is, and you're walking on dangerous ground when you start playing games with them. You could be dead.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.